thought I had everything ready. I'm going to pray for myself one more time. Lord, I just thank you so much for, I just thank you so much for this time of worship. I thank you for this fellowship of believers. I thank you that your spirit is moving. I thank you for your goodness towards us, Lord Jesus. I thank you that as we are responding to you, Lord Jesus, you are bringing us forward with you, Lord. And we just want to use this time that we have to just keep taking more steps towards you, to let you search us out, to let you prepare our hearts for things that we might be running into increasingly, or that we already are, Lord, so that we can lean on you, not lean on our own understanding, but lean on you to direct our paths, to keep us in all of our ways. So, Lord, I just pray that you would just speak through me, Lord. Let anything from me fall to the ground, and may your spirit highlight what you want to say this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I had, as I was praying about, knowing that I was going to be talking, just letting the Lord lead me, and one of the things that the Lord was really impressing upon me was, just being at peace, being at peace with, in our relationships, being at peace. Scripture talks about being at peace with our brother as much as it depends on us. And so this has just kind of really been on my heart, because as we see intensity ramping up all around us, the pressure affects different people in different ways, but it's always trickling into our relationships. And so this is an area, and it's also an area where the enemy really, really wants to attack us. I remember years ago hearing a preacher say, like, the biggest struggle, the biggest thing that really hinders Christianity in the growth of other Christians is other Christians. And I always thought that was really interesting. I think it was said a little bit differently, but I was like, wow, the biggest hindrance to believers growing is other believers. Wow. But I was, when you really think about it, it's like, yeah, that's really, really true. And that is one of the reasons why, as we often talk about, that the Sermon on the Mount is this central, practical, here's how you live this stuff out day to day. And here's how you know you're living it out, because you might think you are, because you're really zealous. And I say, I love you, Jesus. I'm all in. And then you start reading, and you're just in a few verses, and you're like, dang, I don't think I'm doing as good as I thought I was, And then you keep reading, and then you're like, as you're reading Matthew 5 through 7, right? And so we got to keep going back to it. It's like the washing machine. It's like, we want to, in our flesh, say, well, I took a bath, 6 months ago. Wasn't that good enough? But we got to keep bathing every day with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, and letting it wash us and let us clean us and let us expose areas that are dirty. And then we're like, I got clean. But as soon as I went out and I got around my brother, then I ended up getting dirty again. And so we need this continual process of cleaning and washing, which is why this laundry load example is so perfect, right? I got my dirty laundry that needs to get cleaned, and it's bad enough I'm dealing with my own dirty self, but then you had to get in the load with me, and now I got my dirty load of laundry and your dirty load of laundry, and we're all dirty, and it's different levels of stinkiness, and it's like, whoa, we really need to be cleaned up. So thank goodness for the practical application of Matthew 5 through 7. So you could probably tell we're going to talk about the Sermon on the Mount and relationships. And so that's kind of where I'm going to go. And I know it's a good thing you're all sitting down already, because I think you might have gotten a handout. And it's probably not super pretty, but thanks to Barbara Zufall, who helped me with my impairment of, I just couldn't seem to get it down into 2 pages, but she did it. She is amazing. And so she helped me with that this morning, and I'm so grateful. So you have, hopefully, you're going to have most of what I have. And I just did a smattering because I like to mix it up. So you're going to see some things from New Living, some things from NIV, and some from King James, New King James Version. And most of them should be there. So I'm going to start off, and if we can look at the beginning of Matthew 7, it's talking about judging others. And we're familiar with this vivid picture because we've all heard this one about the brother with the splinter and the one brother with the splinter in the eye and the other with the plank in the eye. You just love these word pictures that Jesus gives us. So I'm going to read from Matthew 7, 1 through 6. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged, for you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use judging is the standard by which you will be judged. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye when you can't see past the log in your own eyes? Hypocrite. First get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. Don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. They will trample the pearls, then turn and attack you. So if we could kind of summarize what we're seeing here, because as we're going to talk about this, verses 1 through 5 are really talking about our approach to our brother, family member, spouse, child, whatever the case may be. But it's a critical spirit. And what we see in verse 6 is that critical spirit coming back on us. That's where somebody is criticizing us, which interestingly is, it is often the way that it works because, you know, maybe a New Age person would talk about like being positive and it's an energy and it flows and yada, yada. But really what it is, it's demonic. And, you know, hopefully we're going to get to that. And so what happens is that we entertain a critical spirit. We are inviting a critical spirit, or we're inviting or other spirits. I had a friend share an analogy. It wasn't an analogy, but it was just a scenario that they were sharing. And I thought it was interesting because this had come to my mind where they were talking about picking up their child, and they had had a really terrible day, and were just frustrated and just discouraged, and just, you know, kind of sharing with their child, kind of debriefing, and you know, like just like we will do sometimes with the, you know, it wasn't really like a it's all your fault, child, that I had a terrible day, but it was just like I didn't have a great day and I'm frustrated. And then later on when they got home, they you know, they noticed the child was really acting out, and the child was angry and frustrated, and you know, and just really not being themselves. And what they discerned by the spirit is that it was, what was really happening is that the spirit that they, in their frustration, their discouragement, were carrying, that it had really, you know, spread, and then it manifested differently in the child because of that, because the enemy is looking for a way to get in. You know, it doesn't always return in kind. You know, well, you're critical to me. Well, I'm going to be critical back to you. It could be something different. It could be somebody exerting this spirit of criticism, and then it's turning into shame and condemnation to the other person, and they're reacting differently. There's all kinds of different dynamics that are there. But it's important to understand, sometimes when you look at this verse 6, don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. They will trample the pearls in turn and attack you. So it's just, you can see really, it kind of can go both ways, right? So a common challenge that we face is being critical of other people and being criticized by other people, being sensitive to that, feeling rejected. Having one ourselves is being attacked, and then the other one, like we're, one of them is, like I already said, we're attacking, and the others that we're being attacked. And so I'm going to just take you back right before this passage we're familiar with, right back before Matthew 7. And if I have it there, or you can look in your Bible at Matthew 6, because I actually don't have the handout in front of me. But what is the next verse, by the way? Does anybody want to call it out after what I just read? Okay, good. That's what it's supposed to be. All right. It's just, I think I didn't put it in mine. All right. So if you look at the headings in Matthew 6. So we're going to do that real quick. One second. Go to Matthew 6. If you have a, you may not have this if you don't have a new King James, but I do like this about the new King James. It says, chapter 6, you see, do good to please God, the model prayer, fasting to be seen only by God, laying up treasures in heaven. So there's these categories, the lamp of the body. You cannot serve God in riches. Do not worry. You've got all of these different things that the Lord is talking about, how to live. And then at the end, you see, okay, here's all the things, you know, that God is expecting. And then in verse 33, he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So it's like, yeah, that's a long list, and here's what you need to do. This is how it's going to happen. You ready? Seek me first. Seek first my kingdom, and all these other things are going to be added to you. So giving to the needy, you know, prayer and fasting, money, possessions, it's all of that. It's wrapping up with that admonition for us. And so Matthew 7, as we end verse 6 in Matthew 7, is actually applying how to seek first the kingdom and the righteousness. And in particular, I'm going to be emphasizing in the context of relationships. And what comes with relationships is relational tensions. And so this is one of the themes that Jesus is addressing, is the relational tensions and the issues that arise in the pursuit of seeking first the kingdom. We're all seeking first the kingdom. We got saved. We're like, I love you, Jesus, and I just want to follow you and give me my whole life. And I really could do so much better if it wasn't for all these people around me that are making it difficult. And he's like, yep, I'm going to use all of that. So it's a more practical way to say that would be, it's people who annoy us, and we annoy them. So people with differing values, we've all got these situations. We look at someone else and what they say or what they do, and we're like, I don't understand you. Why are you doing that? They're probably thinking the same thing about us, right? There's just, all they have these, you know, idiosyncrasies about us. But Jesus is telling us that Matthew 6:33 is something that we have to walk out in the midst of these inevitable relational challenges. And as I mentioned, that laundry example, it's a perfect one, because we actually need the relational tension to live in community with one another. This is what stretches us. This is the tension that makes us grow. Different people, different values, hang-ups, fleshly challenges. Every one of us has really struggled with feelings of hurt, feelings of betrayal, being marginalized, misunderstood, mistreated, taken advantage of, taken for granted, rejected. I mean, the list goes on and on. And the agitation of the laundry cycle is what propels us towards our need for God. So depending on him is what we need to help us stay in the cycle and get clean with one another. One of the things that Jesus is addressing here is pursuing him, right? In the context of being critical, while at the same time being criticized. So let me say that again. He's saying in these struggles, you're getting criticized. You're criticized. You're being critical. You're struggling in all these different relational ways. This is what you're supposed to do. In the middle of all that is you have to seek me, because I am the only solution for you. How do we do it? Well, we have faith. We have confidence, and we believe that God is going to take us through. And really importantly, we have to persevere. We have to stay in it. This is really where the hard part comes in, right? We just got to keep at it. And later on in Matthew, we know that Matthew 22:37 says he's calling us to love the Lord our God with our whole heart, with our whole soul, and our whole mind. It's the same thing as the Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom, and everything else will be added. How am I going to deal with all of this struggle and frustration I'm dealing with? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added. It seems simple, but this is actually the answer. And some of the practical way that happens, we're going to get through. And just to read that verse, you probably have that there, Matthew 22:37-39. Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment." And then, importantly, that's the first one, because you can't really do the second one unless you do the first one, right? So the second one, equally important, is love your neighbor as yourself. It could say the second one is not only equally important, but it's contingent on the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. It's the same reality. And I'm, you know, God is calling us to love our neighbor, and we're doing this by loving him first. And I know that you know, and I know this here. We talk about this on a regular basis. But we just have to keep coming back to it. We have to keep coming back to the reminder, you know? Like, I know that I shouldn't eat junk and a bunch of sugar and I should exercise, but I got to seem to keep coming back to this same reality over and over again to try to, you know, it's like I got to be reminded, okay, I'm not doing good. I'm not feeling good. Where did I get off track? Oh, I know. I'm supposed to be doing these particular things, right? So we're loving him first because it's going to take supernatural help to walk this out, particularly in the context of relational tension that we all have. So jumping to Matthew 7:7-8. Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. To everyone who knocks, the door will be open. So we're doing this verse just because I know we're used to hearing that verse a lot. Asking, seeking, knocking. But now let's just really dial into the fact that we're doing this in the context of people who are annoying us and who are criticizing us, or we're critical of them, or we feel like they are. Maybe they're not. We just feel like it, you know. We have to get through all of these emotions and to get a breakthrough for our heart to be aligned with God's heart. And at the same time, when we do that, we're going to get a breakthrough in our relationships. This is what Jesus is talking about in verse 7, in the asking and the seeking and the knocking. He's saying, it's going to be given to you. I am going to do it. I am going to help you in the context of these relational struggles. I want you to just stay in it with me. He's promising. He's telling us, don't get tired. Don't get discouraged. Don't think, is this ever going to change? It feels hopeless. It's been so long. It seems impossible. It just, like, God is made, like, for impossible situations. There will be breakthrough. He promises. Keep knocking on those closed doors. The relational obstacles will be moved. The door is going to be opened, but it's going to take us actually doing what this verse is saying, doing it persistently. Verse 8 is reassurance from Jesus when he tells us, let me go back up to it, for everyone who asks what? Everyone who seeks? And anyone who knocks, what? Are there any exceptions? No. There's no exceptions. The Greek word here, though, this is a good clarifying point, though. The Greek word for ask here is actually not like a one time I did, like, do the thing, right? It is a asking. It's persistency. It's like a continual process. It's like continuing to do the laundry. You have to keep asking, keep asking, keep asking. You've got to stay in it. Stay in it, engaged in it. Not the, okay, well, let me say my rote prayer that I'm used to saying, but actually really putting your heart into it. Like you're ardent for it. You're earnestly seeking it. If you seek and you keep on seeking and you don't get tired and discouraged, oh my gosh, I prayed this so many times, there's going to be breakthrough. We all have this door that feels impossibly closed for us. We all have these relational obstacles, and they will be moved. The door will be opened, but we have to keep knocking. And this process of knocking is recognizing that chances are there's a good... that we're part of the obstacle. that God really wants to work out. Like, I'm not opening this door yet because there's some stuff I want to work out in your heart. I can open the door anytime I want. You know, it's interesting. I was reading a book that was talking about the fact that, like, when you talk about spiritual warfare, and there's all of this emphasis on how to say the prayers and, you know, how to resist the enemy and how to bind this and loose that. And obviously that is biblical. But the thing is that the forces of evil are not bigger than God. But he allows things because he wants us to need him. Because he is the only answer. We have to depend on him. The only way to be perfected against the attacks of the enemy, or to be resistant against the attacks of the enemy, is to be perfected in Christ. For him to be fully formed in us. Because then the enemy has got no room to work. And so God uses these situations that we're in to accomplish the things that he wants to accomplish in us. And so many of us are experiencing this for a reason. There is some stuff God really wants to work out in us. He's working something out in the frustration on both sides of it, because he's working on different issues. But he knows that this is how we're going to get clean. Because if you ever wash something, one thing by itself, it doesn't get very clean. Like if you get a good size load, you get enough fabrics rubbing up against one another. Like, even we know when you're trying to clean a stain, what do? When you got a stain on your shirt, you take it and you rub it together like this, because you know you actually need the tension on the other side of that fabric to rub back and forth so you can actually get the spot clean. Because you can't just go, let me just get that spot clean by rubbing on it with you need the friction, you need the soap, you need the whole thing, right? So, everyone who asks will receive. Everyone who seeks will find the wisdom of how to go forward. We need wisdom in how to go forward in these relationships, don't we? We totally do. So, breakthrough of love in our heart. If we think about the first commandment, what that is love the Lord with all of your heart, soul, and mind. What's happening here is a breakthrough in our heart. It's a breaking of our heart, a breaking of our own self-leadership, a breaking of, I know the way to do things, Lord. In that breaking, that humility, what that does is that is actually facilitating the breakthrough in the relational tension that we just talked about in verses 1 through 6. If we keep on knocking and staying with it, like I mentioned earlier, the door is going to be open. If you'll jump to verse 12, this is a really key verse. So this is Matthew 7:12, in applying the promise mentioned in verse 7 and 8. If you persevere in seeking God, you're going to get breakthrough. Do to others whatever you like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and prophets. Like, this might feel out of place because, you know, I think we're so used to it. But when you really dial into it, it's like, okay, we're talking about prayer. We talk about the ask, seek, and knock all the time. Lord, you're the answer. I'm going to seek you, and you're going to help me, and you're going to get me through it. But why are you, like, we're talking about me and you, God, and how you help me, and I ask you, and now all of a sudden we're talking about do to others, like the golden rule? What does that have to do with this? Well, it's directly related. It's not an accident. It's like he's switching gears, but what's happening here is that when we treat people how we want to be treated, what does that have to do with? Oh, I already said that. Okay, but, okay. But what's happening here is it's a continuation of the earlier verses where Jesus was talking about getting breakthrough in relationships. He's putting prayer and seeking God and breakthrough in the heart, our relationship with him, together with the breakthrough in our relationships around us. In other words, getting this vertical relationship really strong, really vibrant, really yielded is going to improve these relationships around us, because what's changing is not always the people around us, but it's us that is changing. We're reflecting Christ. You know, the song, I don't know what the name of the song was, but just during the worship, it was like, I want God, you deserve all the glory. I want you to get it all. You know, I was thinking about a situation that had happened over the holidays that, you know, we'd gotten together with some family and, you know, and like I've been, you know, sometimes with family, you just get so you're like, you know, it's family. We know what that's like, right? With the family, the holidays and things like that. Some things are like, well, you're going to have this happen and that's going to happen. And you kind of expect certain things, but, you know, Lena very lovingly, you know, brought to my attention that I kind of, you know, there was a dynamic that we had that it was, there was a situation of misunderstanding and it was getting a little bit loud and some people, you know, were reacting and saying what they wanted to say loudly. And I knew there was a simple solution. And I just wanted to get my simple solution out. And I couldn't hardly get in between all the voices. And then I got louder to get my voice in. And it really stood out in her mind, you know, and she brought it to my attention later. And I was like, my first reaction was like, well, did you see the dynamic that was going on? And who else was going to do it? I had to do it, and I had no choice. And but then I realized the Lord was like, you could have done it differently. You could have handled it differently. Didn't really change anything anyways. You know, I could have just... But instead of what happened is that I got out of his glory. I did something that didn't give him glory because I was really... I jumped into the flesh because I thought I had to do something. And he wants us to have transformed hearts towards him that will give us relational breakthrough, even with those that we live in tension with, and breakthrough in our ability to love other people in a way that we want them to love us. If going back to that context of verses 1 through 6, it's those that we're tempted to be critical of and those that we want, those who want to be critical of us. Our challenge is to seek first the kingdom. 1 John 4:7, dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. If we're struggling with love, then we know that, like, if we're feeling impatient and feeling frustrated and feeling like we just don't have God's perspective on somebody or some situations, he's reminding us, okay, you've got to love one another, and you're not going to be able to do it on your own. Because who does the love come from? God. Love comes from God. And so we need supernatural help. Verse 12, do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. This makes it clear. He's talking about breakthrough in relationships with God and with people. So we're not to trust our natural strengths, but we're to continually seek his sustaining grace. God, help me. Lord, help me to look at the situation from your perspective. I was reminded, I had a friend that shared a situation that I just love this picture, that real frustrating circumstances that they're in. And, you know, and I think somebody on the outside would say, well, you know, this is what I would do, or you'd be justified in whatever, you know, but they're, you know, they really wanted God's perspective. And they're like, Lord, how do you see this situation? How do you see this person that I am really struggling with? And just took time, you know, in the middle of circumstances that maybe it would seem from a worldly perspective, they have right to be mad and angry, you know, but they're like, I just want to be yielded to you. And God divinely intervened and gave them a picture of the person they were struggling with and enabled them to go to that person with that perspective in mind and say what the Holy Spirit was saying by the spirit of prophecy. And it totally changed the dynamic. It just softened the heart of the person that they were struggling with, because really God said, let me show you what they look like from my perspective. Because you're seeing one side of this coin, but I want you to see the other side that might give you insight into what you're seeing, and it might give you more grace and patience. And it was a beautiful, beautiful story. So there is perseverance in the seeking. We don't want to back away, and we don't want to rely on our natural strength. So the enemy is attacking, and problems come, and the stress and the wear and tear of everyday life, even in parts of the world, I think, this is what I think about with persecution, just all that pressure coming in on them because they're believers, and then on top of that, they're just the piling in of the relational pressures, and so it's easy to lose vision of what it's going to take. And we may really love God, but it's still impossible in our own strength. He's reminding us we got to talk to him on a regular basis. We got to keep asking him until we get the breakthrough. What are we asking for specifically? If we talk about ask for God's supernatural intervention to touch us and those that we're in tension with. When we get breakthrough at a certain level, we want to go for the next. Okay, Lord, take us further. This is good. I'm seeing progress. What's next? What can we keep moving towards? I love this, the thing about Tim, and he's asked for many of us to pray, and he's such a faithful, prays faithfully for us. And, you know, he says, I'm gonna pray this thing for you until you tell me different, or 3 months I'll check with you and we'll see. Because he's expecting that there's going to be progress. He's expecting there to be another level. And so what's next? Where can we go further from this? If we're struggling in an area with someone, we can ask the Lord, how do you see them? And very often we are focused in on our own perspective. We don't always fully understand the circumstances, the unique challenges, the emotional struggles, the family dynamics that someone else is experiencing. Maybe we only see that one thing that really annoys us, but we don't really see other things that might be happening behind the scenes. Lord, what do you want to do in our relationships is a great question to ask. How do I go forward in reconciliation? How is my perception of that person or that relationship or situation affecting my heart? Is it hindering my relationship with the Father? I'll tell you right now, it will. It definitely will, because the enemy wants to have your thoughts preoccupied about, things happening around you. It's this constant, this is why we got to take our thoughts captive. Say, Lord, I know you're in it. I know you're in the middle of the situation. You're working it out. Lord, I pray that you'd be with that person. We've got to pray for the people. It enables it. If we don't pray for the people that we're struggling with, it really makes it so much harder for us to have God's perspective in it. I'm not saying we can't, but it just really makes a huge difference. Another huge difference is just looking at the things we're grateful for in that relationship. What's good? What is God doing in that person? And we can really, otherwise the enemy just keeps us focusing in on what's wrong, but there's so much that we can be grateful for about what's right. So when we're seeking him, this involves reading the word, listening to the Holy Spirit. It's having godly fellowship. Sometimes getting counsel from other mature believers. Sometimes what's happening in our relationships with other people is that we're really frustrated about a situation, and they're just less mature. They're just at a different place in their journey. They just haven't gotten there yet. And trying to pressure them or trying to, you know, like bully them into something or make them feel bad because they're not at a certain point. And like, I've done this. I've done this, and I've had to repent, and I have to realize, wait a minute. I'm at a different place, and yes, they can't see it because they're not there yet. And I got to come back and remind, Lord, look at how much you've forgiven me. Look at how much grace and mercy you've given me. And then it really enables us to offer that to other people. We want to ask for the keys to overcome the obstacles, which are those closed doors that are hindering growth or reconciliation sometimes. Sometimes there's past hurts, misunderstandings, years of brokenness, unconfessed sin, wrong attitudes, selfishness, defensiveness, pride. I just want to stop for a minute right now because the Lord wants to highlight things to us. Lord, we have many areas in our lives where relational struggles exist. And Lord, would you bring, right now, Lord, we know there's probably several for many of us. So just right now, if you want to highlight one person, Lord, in our mind, or would you show us what is the relational obstacle? Where am I contributing to it, Lord? Or would you lead us in praying for breakthrough in that area? Lord, would you restore our hope and give us eyes of what it could look like, why it's worth it? Like, some of us are really struggling in relationships with, even in our home with kids or even adult kids. And we need vision about why it's worth it to stay in it and to walk this narrow road that God wants us to be in. Because sometimes it gets so overwhelming, we just want to check out. We can't jump out of the washer. It's not going to sanctify. We will not get sanctified that way. We will actually be vulnerable to falling away. We have to stay in it. Abiding is the key. John 15:5. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me. What does that mean? Those who talk to me. And I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me they can do nothing. He says, keep talking to me, and I'm going to keep talking to you. We get discouraged sometimes, and we're like, oh, I don't even have any energy to pray anymore about this. Just, Lord, give it to us. Renew us. He wants to bring the breakthrough in our heart. He knows that we're weak. He knows what type of opposition is coming our way. He knows the distractions, and he's reminding us, I am everything that you need. I am. I'm your safe place. I'm your advocate. I'm your protector. I'm your strength. I'm hedging you in behind and before. Anyone talk to themselves? Anybody talk to themselves? Yeah, that was the one I was thinking of when you don't see Lonnie. Like, talks to himself. Lonnie talks to himself. Sometimes, you know, I'll be walking in or whatever, and I'll be, are you talking to me? I'm like, I'm not sure, because sometimes he is talking to me. And I'm just trying to clarify. We have a small house. You know, I'm like, are you talking to me? Or no, I'm just talking to myself. Maybe you don't do it out loud, but we're always all talking to ourselves. And we could intentionally ask to really turn this conversation that we're having into ourselves into a constant conversation with Jesus. And most of us, I think, are really working on this. We're doing this. And we find the more we're here and what we're doing in the prayer room and we're seeking the Lord, and this asking, seeking, knocking is resulting in more conversation with him. And so we just want to keep going forward, taking it to a new level where the conversation is, Lord, what do you think about this? What do you want me to do? What do you not want me to do? And just continually to let him lead us. It's really Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's hard for us to get breakthrough if we stay in our own independence. And we want to arrive. There's this temptation. I want to arrive. I just want to get all my trouble spots worked out so that I can, you know, get my ducks in a row. But Jesus is saying, you're never going to get your ducks in a row. You're always going to need me, because there's this feeling of it's just built into us culture, sin nature. Like, I want to, once I do everything just right, then there won't be any shame anymore. But the shame of lacking something isn't coming from my perfection. It's from Jesus, because no one who puts their trust in him will ever be put to shame, right? So all who ask in God's will are sure to receive. If we keep knocking, we're going to eventually see an opening of that door and the obstacle removed. James 4:6. And he gives grace generously. As the scripture says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. He knows our struggle, and he knows when we feel vulnerable, and he is gracious towards us. He receives us. He accepts us. I like to periodically look up the definition of grace, because it's in so many different scriptures. I'm like, I just want to keep coming back to that, Lord, because I know simply it's like grace, unmerited favor. But I found this definition that I really liked. It says, grace is more than salvation, but it's also everything that we need for a life of godliness. Or put it another way, it's God's life, his power, and his righteousness that are given to us by unmerited favor. It's through this unmerited favor, this grace, that God is working this change in our life. Hebrews 4:16, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and find grace to help us in our time when we need it most. He's not unaware or unconcerned about our needs, but he is really wanting to bring us into this neediness of him and reaching out for him. We can ask the Lord, where have I contributed to this wounded relationship? Ask the Lord to show us again, how does he see the people, our family, our friends, our body, the community around us? Give us insight in how we can humble ourselves. I mean, sometimes we have to look back at things in the past. The Lord will show us things. You look back in a relationship and you think, I feel like I was so wronged. And the Holy Spirit starts to show you, actually, you were a part of the problem. There were some things that you did that really, really caused things to foment a little bit. We just need to repent. Kind of going back to that situation, I was talking with the family earlier. We had like a family chat thing, and I got on there, and somebody had said, well, you don't need to do that. You're making too big. I got on there, and I said, you know, I apologize. I could have handled that differently. Forgive me. And, you know, somebody told me, you don't need to worry about that. It doesn't matter. And I'm like, it does matter. God cares about repentance. He cares about me wanting to make sure he's getting a good witness. He's worthy. He deserves it. He cares about me living at peace with my brother as much as it depends on me. He cares about me keeping my heart soft. James 13 through 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that come from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. We've got to resist the enemy so that he will flee. Like I mentioned this earlier, that this, you know, we've got to resist, you know, we resist spirits in our family and here in this body. And like the enemy wants to get in a lot of different ways. And this is just one of them that we want to be guarding against. And some of these things like that I'm talking about, the Holy Spirit's highlighting them because I think on a regular basis, we are all dealing with different things, but the enemy activity is increasing. And so it's, we want to play the offense, if you will, and that is the strategy for all the offenses, Matthew 6:33 and Matthew 7:8-9. Love the Lord our God with our whole heart, soul, and mind, seeking first his kingdom, and then asking, seeking, and knocking, and letting the Lord work it out in us. Did I finish reading that verse? I'm not sure. I didn't. Okay. For where we have envy, I'll start from 16. Where you have envy, selfish ambition, where you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest in righteousness. If I do something to offend my brother and I'm out of order, I'm having a bad day, and I've entertained a critical spirit, and then I am letting that flow out of me, my brother has an opportunity to resist the enemy in that. They can love me, but they can be like, I'm not going to have that spirit. And to be recognizing it right away, that's not the fruit of the Spirit of the Lord. And, you know, and I think in doing that, we're putting a hedge of protection around us. We're living at peace with our brother as much as it depends on us. And this is what we want to be on guard against, because it isn't just this, but, you know, a critical spirit can invite envy, selfish ambition, disorder, every evil practice. So we're on guard against, you know, not just one category of things, but all things that are not of the Lord. And the other thing is that when I resist that, that spirit is not finding a welcome place to settle, right? There's no place, there's no room in the inn here. Does that make sense? So we all have to be operating that way. And we've all felt like, I don't want to say I've failed in this area, and so I have to just quickly repent. Oh, you know what? I can see where I am reacting, and I'm not in the presence of God in this thing. And so we just do over. Holy Spirit's right there to help always. Sometimes we can see that splinter in the other person's eye so clearly, and we so desperately want to remove it. But we need to wait on God. It's easy to look at ourselves and say, well, I'm glad I'm not like that tax collector. You know, at least I don't do X, Y, Z. Or I can't believe that they did X, Y, Z or whatever. Well, maybe we don't, you know, maybe you don't, but maybe there are other ways that You know, maybe there's that thing that they have, that splinter that just seems so obvious to us. You know, maybe we don't have that same splinter, but maybe we've got some other things that are planks that we're struggling with. Maybe it's selfishness, self-centeredness, pride. Whether it's our spouse or our kids or our friends, it can be really hard. And so sometimes we think, okay, I'm going to say the truth in love. But if we're not really giving the truth from God's perspective and in God's timing, then it isn't necessarily the truth in love. Like, you can be right and still be wrong. So it's all about being yielded to Him in the timing. I mean, you know, this is something even as a mom or and as a wife, I'm like, okay, Lord, just taking that pause, Lord, do I need to say something about the situation? Is this something that you're dealing with, or is this something that I actually do need to give some input on? Is this something like that you feel like are you you know, because the Lord is working it, like he's got plenty of people and ways to work in the lives of the people that we love. It doesn't always have to be us. Like, sometimes faith is just recognizing, you know what, if God says wait, and then we're like, but God, what about? It's like God's like, I got this. I do know how to clean up people's hearts, and I knew how to address things. And so it doesn't always have to be us. And when we do it when we're not supposed to, outside of His leadership, it hurts the relationship. So just a good thing for us to be reminded of. And I'm not up here like, here, I really mastered all these areas. Like, I'm talking about this because I think this really applies to me. Maybe it applies to you too, but these are areas that are common to man, in my opinion. Romans 15:1. This might not be in the handout, I'm not sure. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please Himself. But as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. This is super tough. So tough. This is why we desperately need what Jesus is outlining here at the end of Matthew chapter 6. It's like, all the stuff I'm telling you in these chapters 5, 6, and 7, they are going to be so hard. So hard. You're going to be like, really? I mean, come on. This must be for like super holy people can only do this kind of stuff. He's like, you are going to need some supernatural assistance. This is what you're going to do. This is your how-to plan. Seek first the kingdom. Love me with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And this is how you're going to do it. Not with a one-time prayer. I did the salvation thing. Check. No, this is how you're going to do it. You're going to ardently come before me. You're going to earnestly seek my face. You are going to have to inconvenience yourself. You're going to have to drive across town, go to a prayer room. You're going to have to rub against other believers. You're going to have to, block time out of your schedule and just say, like, I'm going to put my phone down and I'm actually going to spend time with the God who made me. I'm going to ask Him to help me, because as soon as you try to get in His presence, I'll tell you, there's the most distracted time for me. And the time that my things to-do list, you know when they are super clear, all the things I need to do? As soon as I open my Bible. They're like, all the things you got to do. You're thinking about them all right then, like, what? And everybody's texting you and all the different things. The enemy is warring against our time in fellowship and connection with the Lord. And that's why we have to persevere. And that's really what that asking, seeking, knocking is implying. These are all present tense verbs. You can see them underlined for you. Ask. It isn't asked. It isn't sought. It isn't knocked. It's ask, seek, knock. It's ongoing. We know this. But just reminding us over and over again until we get breakthrough. Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. So in Proverbs, related to it, Proverbs 2:4-5, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. If you're struggling in your connection with the Lord, you just have to tell him and be honest and tell your friends so that we can pray for each other. Like, this is one of the things I pray on a regular basis for me and for this body, that we can be with him and connect with him in the secret place, because the enemy wars against it. And so we want to be earnestly seeking. It's a very active pursuit to be able to accomplish these things. We can't expect to find breakthrough in our relationships when we're casual in our relationship with our Savior. We've got to be wholehearted, going after him with everything in us, because he is where the power comes from to transform us. And our transformed lives is what actually will transform the people around us. It starts with us. But we can't do it in our own strength. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. I appreciate so much those of you in this body that pray for me, for my family. I pray for you. We want to be really committed to praying for one another. We are in a war. The enemy is going after us, our relationships, our families. There's just a gazillion different ways he's coming at us. We are standing in the gap for one another. And what the enemy wants to do is create division in the relationship, so that what we would do is we're like, I don't even want to pray for that person. But that's exactly the solution, actually, is the ones that we're struggling with, we pray. We pray the Lord would help us to see them the way that we see them, that we let that love grow. So we want to keep pursuit, seeking God with confidence. Matthew 7:9-11. Just reminders, as children of the Father, we are we're asking the Father with confidence and with goodness. Matthew 7:9-11. I'm going to read it. I went out of order. You parents, if your children ask you for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask you for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who seek him? I think the New King James Version says, if you evil people. The idea is human fathers are evil, they're selfish compared to God's standards of perfect love. Skipping down here, because I know we're not going to get through all of this. I want to hit on this one area. Matthew, there's a concept about striving that we often use in the church. We're like, don't strive. You know, we don't want to strive to earn our salvation. We don't want to strive to earn our acceptance and love from God. We can't. But the scripture is really clear that we are to strive in our relationship towards pursuing him. We are to strive in our relationship towards pursuing holiness. Striving implies what? What do you think when I say strive? Effort? Work? Faithfulness? Continuousness? Being consistent? Yeah. We actually have to strive in the pursuit of God and in sanctification. It requires self-denial. Matthew 16:23-24. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, and you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. we've got to resist the enemy. Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Deny himself. There's a bunch of things that I want, but he's actually telling us self-control. It isn't like, okay, well, I don't want somebody to force me into a relationship with God, right? No, nobody can, but you've got to reach for it. There's a pursuit involved. Jesus is exhorting us to put effort into it, just like we would. It's a relationship. just like we would with our families and friends. Striving in a relationship is an expression of love. If I'm like, I want to make space to spend time with my kids, with my husband. Like, I know you're busy, but I want to be with you. I want to connect with you. I want to find out what's going on with you. This is an expression of my love. When we're not pursuing our relationship with Lord, Lord, what are you thinking? What are you doing, Lord? What do you want to have happen in my life? What are you having happen in my family, in my body? It's not putting effort into the relationship, and it's really reflecting our indifference, which is not what we want to have, right? Okay. Let's see if there's anything else. I think that's it. I'm going to close. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that we don't have to do this alone. This is so hard. Lord, there's many of us that are really struggling. We're really hurting. And we need you. We're reaching for you, Lord Jesus, and you help us and you sustain us. But it gets, we get weary. And we need our strength renewed. Lord, we thank you that those who put their hope in you will never be put to shame. Lord, we thank you that those who trust in you will mount up on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not grow faint. Lord, we want to trust in you. We want to stay in it. We want to stay persistent. We don't want to be dull. We don't want to be indifferent, Lord. We want to see how we want to have freshness and your perspective in our relationship with you and with each other so that we can stay connected. So we can be protected against the schemes of the enemy. So that we can impact our families. So we can impact this community with the love of Christ. We don't want the enemy to get in there and shut down what it is that you're trying to do because of relational breakdowns. Lord, we desperately need you. We're asking you to turn the hearts of the fathers towards the children and the children towards the fathers. We're asking you to turn the hearts of our body towards our community and our community towards us. We're asking for you to turn our hearts towards our spouses and our spouses' hearts towards us. Lord, we're asking you to turn the hearts of our adult children towards us and us to them. Lord, we're asking for breakthrough. We're asking that we would trust you for a freshening of our faith. Of our confidence in your goodness, that we'd have vision of the richness of fellowship with you and the richness of fellowship with relationships around us. Lord, we need you. We can't do it alone. We mess it up. Lord, I'm sorry how I messed this up. I'm desperate for you. We all are. Breakthrough, Lord. We're asking for breakthrough. In Jesus' name.